couple of weeks ago, I had somebody ask me a question. They said, George, what do you think about this prediction that the Mayans made so many centuries ago that the world was going to end on December 21st, 2012? What do you think about that, George? And my pat answer has been, well, it's pretty interesting because here's a civilization that predicted the end of the world but could not predict the end of their own civilization. I'm like, oh, okay, oh. But what's happened is I've had a lot of people ask me this question about what about the Mayans? What about the Mayans? What are they saying? How does that fit in with what's going on? What does the Bible say about that? What can I say? I've got friends who are asking questions. And folks, it is a real issue. I have in my hand here something I printed off from my computer from Fox's News website because they have a special segment on Fox News. And it's called Countdown to Doomsday. And here's what they wrote. Mankind has long been fascinated with doomsday. Hundreds of thousands of predictions have been made about the end of our world. Did you know that? Hundreds of thousands of predictions. While most of these are associated with the second coming of Christ, as in most of them are about Jesus, the focus now is on the Mayan civilization of southern Mexico and the end of their calendar on December 21st, 2012, which is the coming winter solstice. This is interesting. Over 3,000 books and countless websites claim that the Mayan people predicted the earth will be destroyed on this date. And here's what they said. The scenarios are truly frightening. The earth will be destroyed by colliding with an asteroid or being pulled into a black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy. Others claim that a galactic planetary alignment will tear the earth apart or that the earth's magnetic poles will shift and our planet will turn upside down. That's what they say is going to happen. So you're sitting there and you're saying, wow, wow. And there's a lot of fascination with it, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact of what they already said. This is one of the predictions that has nothing to do with Jesus coming back, because we hear predictions all the time about Jesus coming back. Didn't we just have predictions about last year in May about Jesus coming back? Then it was supposed to be October. I have a young person I'm friends with on, and they put an interesting post up. I had to laugh at it. It says, I've survived two apocalypses, and I'm sure I'm going to survive the third one. So people are either taking it serious or they're laughing at it. So it raises a question, really, that we need to answer today. It raises a question because there really is two issues going on. The issue is about why are we so fascinated with what's going to happen in the future? Why is mankind so fixated on what the Mayans are saying? Why is mankind so fixated on what someone might say about the return of Jesus Christ? Why are we that way? And I think I think the reason is because we have a hidden fear. All of us have a hidden fear, whether we realize it or not, about the future. And there's two things I want you to see about it. Two things. Number one, humanity is fascinated with the future. There's something about us where we are fascinated with the future. Why? Well, here's one reason. Number one, when we look to the past, we either look with regret or with shame. And there's nothing we can do about it. When we look to the present, well, we know what the present's like. But when it comes to the future, that's the big question mark. That's the big unknown. We want to know the future. That's why some of you, folks, I'll be honest with you, that's why some of you needlessly look at the horoscopes. Like for some reason, if you're a Pisces or an Aquarius or something, they're going to tell you what's going to happen that day. That's why some of you are like, can't wait to get my fortune cookie at the China place today. And, you know, the words of wisdom there could be for anybody, including your dog. Isn't that true? But why are we so fixated? Because we have this fixation, this fascination with what knowing about the future. And one thing that we have a hidden fear about is knowing how it's all going to end. How am I going to die? Is he really going to come back? What's it going to be like? And I'll be honest with you, isn't it interesting that there's almost a correspondence with something? When times get tough, when times are even more difficult, we become even more fascinated with it. When times are going good, we're living for the present. But when times are tough, we're wondering how we're going to make it anyhow. We become really fascinated with the whole issue of how is it going to end. Here's the other thing I want you to see. Believers live out of partial information. Here's the sad thing for me as a pastor. When I look at you, a lot of times, and I listen to you, or I listen to others in the community, what I find is that there actually is an ignorance among believers as to what Jesus Christ said, or as to what the scriptures say concerning the end times, concerning what he said about his coming. Do you understand what I'm saying? And most people will listen to or remember or have half of something that they got from some preacher or what somebody said on TV or what somebody said on the radio, and they'll believe it. Because they themselves don't know the answer. So for instance, in that article that was on the web, on the Fox News site, they mentioned this guy who's a Christian who believes that Jesus Christ is coming soon. In fact, he believes it so much, here's what he's done. He put up a live internet camera in Jerusalem to capture when Jesus will come back. I read that and I'm thinking, okay, I don't think anybody's going to be watching that. Because when he comes, he comes. I don't think we're going to be worrying about what my video camera showed me. Because the scripture says that the world will see. And the world will mourn when Jesus comes back. See, then again, ignorance. Believers live out of partial information. In fact, here's what happens. Because we live out of partial information, when we hear something like the Mayan prediction, or when somebody asks us about that, we don't really have an answer. In fact, we try to maybe, to be honest with you, try to see how it fits in. That maybe the Mayans had some kind of special understanding that nobody else did. And so we try to figure it out. Well, I want us to be people who aren't ignorant. I don't want us operating on partial information. My task today as your pastor is to help you to have full information. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the scripture. We're going to look at Mark chapter 13. Now, all of Mark 13 discusses the whole issue of Jesus' return. But we're actually going to look at two sections from Mark 13. We're going to look at verses 1 to 10, which we're going to see the warning. And then we're going to look at verses 32 through 37, which is going to bring us the encouragement. Now, in between that, he's going to give some more details of what's going to happen during a certain time. I'm not going to focus on that today because that really is not the point that I need to talk to you about today. Because we're talking about what to make of this Mayan thing. And so I want you to hear what Jesus says as a warning. And then I want you to understand what you need to do with it, which is what we're going to see with the encouragement. So notice with me, verses 1 to 10. Then as he went out of the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled?" Here, listen to what Jesus says. Jesus answered them and began to say, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils. You will be beaten in synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for the testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations." Look now at verse 32. "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who has left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, in the morning, lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And I say to you, I say to you all, watch." Very interesting, isn't it? Let's look first of all at the warning. I think it's very relevant, especially in light of the whole issue of what is the Mayans real or whatever. I want you to see a couple of things here. First of all, Jesus is saying this. Well, first of all, let me give you the setting. They're in Jerusalem. They're probably walking through the temple areas, and the disciples look at Jesus and say, "Wow, Jesus, look at how fabulous these buildings are." And folks, let me tell you, they were fabulous. In fact, it was one of the eight wonders of the world at the time was Herod's temple. It was a significant thing. And Jesus looks at him, and they're expecting, "Oh yeah, these are great." Jesus looks at him and says, "Yeah, these are wonderful buildings, but not one stone will be left upon another here." He's predicting the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem. So when they get up to the Mount of Olives, Peter, James, John, and Andrew get with Jesus privately and they say, well, let us know what's going on here. Again, that fascination with the future. Tell us what's going to happen here, teacher. Tell us what's going to happen, Rabbi. Tell us what's going to happen, Jesus. And so that's when he gives them a warning. And the first thing I want you to see that is, he tells us is to be on guard against deception. You got to be on guard against deception. Don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anyone deceive you. You have got to be vigilant about this. Why do I say that? You know what? I've been a believer now 27 years. And in 27 years, and almost 20 years of pastoring, let me just go ahead and tell you this right now. I have seen so many things of Christians being deceived by so many different predictions. The latest one we heard was what? That it was going to happen with Harold Camping and the whole prediction of May of last year, 2011. And people giving up their jobs, quitting their jobs, selling everything, their houses, everything, to be ready. And then, of course, May came by, and guess what? June came by. We're still here. I remember, look, when I was at Liberty University, 1988, there was a little book that came out, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come Back in 1988. September of 1988. And I remember, literally, I was on the campus, I was living in a dorm, and it's dorm 15, and there were guys on my floor who did not go to class that day. They stayed in there on the day when it was supposed to happen. They stayed in their rooms in prayer waiting for Jesus to come back. And obviously, October came and it didn't happen. In fact, it was followed up by the next great bestseller, 89 Reasons Why He'll Come Back in 89. And when he didn't come back in 89, the guy who wrote the book said, well, I gave it my best shot. But you know what? There were people who were deceived. See, remember I told you earlier that we operate on partial information? And when you operate on partial information, folks, listen to me. You are a prime candidate for somebody to come by and deceive you. Especially concerning this topic. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus is warning them, be on guard against deception, because somebody will say, he's here! He's coming! Folks, when he comes, you'll know it. When he comes, that'll be it. And you'll know. There won't be any question. There won't be any speculation. There won't be any theological discussions. Was that it or was it not? So don't be deceived. Don't listen to somebody who tells you that. Here's the other thing he tells you, and here's the thing that we've got to grasp. Notice what he says there. Look with me. Verse 7 and 8. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled by such things, for such things must happen. But the end is not yet. Let's go on. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. Notice what he says. These are the beginning of sorrows. Here's the next point I want you to see. Wars and natural disasters are only a preview. I've heard it. I've heard people talk about it just nonchalantly. Oh, we're getting close to the time. I know Jesus must be coming back soon. Why? Because we're having more earthquakes than ever. Global warming. This is not whether or not it's true. That's not my issue to discuss. But look at the storms we're having. Look at the world. The world's just constantly, it seems like we're having more wars than ever. Folks, somebody once showed that in all of human history that we know that is recorded, that there is only a 100-year period in all of the centuries that altogether there might have been peace among humanity. Recently, I saw an interesting thing that showed that they figured out through anthropology or whatever that maybe even 1,000 years ago, 60% of people died from war or pestilence. That's more than half the population dying from war or pestilence. I don't know if that's true today here, is it? I don't think so. We've always had those things happening. Natural disasters, wars. But notice what Jesus is saying. Don't be alarmed by them. Because they're only what? A preview of what's coming. They're the beginning of sorrows. Do you understand what I'm saying? And in one other part, he likens them to this. He calls them the birth pangs. What does that mean, George? Well, ladies, do you remember when you were with child and you got the Braxton Hicks contractions? They weren't the real thing, were they? No, but they were preparing your body for the real thing, right? Isn't it interesting that Jesus would use that analogy to describe it that way? We're not in labor yet, folks, for the coming. But what we see here is only a preview. It's only the beginnings. It's only the earth groaning for the time of His coming. But see, again, if I'm operating on partial knowledge, then every earthquake, every superstorm that happens, every hurricane, every natural disaster, every war, every tragedy. You know, just recently somebody's reading a book about the stuff that happened on 9/11 and how that fits into Bible prophecy. Can I be honest with you? It doesn't. But it does in this sense. What do you mean? It does, but it doesn't. The Bible doesn't specifically talk about the Twin Towers. Period. But it does tell us in a passage like Mark that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Such things will happen. But they're only the what? The beginning of sorrows. Do you understand? The beginning of sorrows. But if you have a partial understanding, oh yeah, this guy must be right, so you buy his book. And that's $15 out of your pocket. $15 in his. And he thanks you. Do you know what I mean? So wars and natural disasters are only a preview. But here's what else I want you to see. There's one other point I want you to see from this warning that Jesus tells us. And this is the one that we've got to grasp, that we've got to get a grip on. Look with me at verse 9 and 10. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils. You will be beaten in synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Let me just help you understand. The word nations there means ethnos, which is ethnicities. It's not talking about borders. It's talking about peoples. So here's the fourth other thing that Jesus is telling us here. Look at what he says. The peoples of the world must be reached with the gospel. You know what, before you get comfortable and before you start saying, oh yeah, he's coming, and you're getting ready for it, you need to understand that there's still a job to be done. What do you mean? Well, I know that when I read in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11, he talks about the hardness, the partial hardness of Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles. What is that? Until the full numbers of the Gentiles is complete. What does that mean, George? Until the full number of Gentiles has come to Christ. Who's that? That's us and the people of the world who are non-Jewish. And I also know that I know from missions that there are over 5,000 people groups who've not heard Jesus yet, who've not been reached. Well, how many people is that, George? Well, if you just take the 1040 window, that's from North Africa all the way into Asia, you're talking about more than half the population of the world. And they've yet to hear about Jesus. Sounds like we've got a lot to do, doesn't it? Well, times are getting tough here, George. It's almost terrible to be a Christian. Look at what he said in verse 9. Didn't he tell you it was going to be tough? It's a tough thing to be a Christian. Didn't he tell you that naming the name of Christ is going to draw people not liking you? I mean, he let it be known right up front, isn't it? But the problem is we operate on, what do we operate on? Well, folks, partial information. And very clearly Jesus says what here? Don't be deceived. The wars and the natural disasters, that's only a preview. That's just the beginning of sorrows. But here's the other thing. The gospel needs to go to the nations. Still people that need to hear. Still people that need to hear. You say, well, how's it going to happen, George? It's going to take people going out, reaching out. So that's the warning. So notice the encouragement now. Let's drop down to 32 because he gets in between verse 11 and 31 are some specifics there. And I don't want to get into those today, but I would encourage you to read them on your own. But there is an encouragement to you here. Look with me at verse 32. Here's the first thing. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Here's the first thing you need to grasp, and I think this is very important, especially when we consider about the prediction of the Mayans. Here's the thing. You will not know when the end is. You will not know when the end is. When will we get that one through our brain? Folks, the Mayans, several centuries ago, didn't know. God didn't consult him and say, hey, this is what's going to happen. How do I know that? Because notice what he says there. Notice what he says there. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. Who's the Son? Jesus. Only the Father knows. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the picture we have from Revelation chapter 4 and 5 is that God's going to sit on the throne and they're going to be worshiping Him there. And the picture is that He holds up a scroll and the question is, who is worthy to open it? It's when the Father holds up the scroll that the judgments begin. And at that point, the only one who is worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Who's who, folks? Jesus. And then He opens the seals. And then the end begins. But it's the Father who knows. It's not a group of Mayans. It's not some engineering student or former whatever like Harold Camping was, or not some NASA scientist who made the prediction in 1989. It's not some prophecy guru or any of this. It's not some pastor. It's not your grandmama. It's not anybody. Do you understand? Nobody knows. In fact, I once heard a preacher joke that you're almost guaranteeing it's not going to be then when you tell them that it is. It's like God said, okay, we can't go now. Somebody made a prediction. That's reality. Nobody knows. It's going to come as a total shock. Jesus described it this way, folks. If you have an understanding of what the Word says, it's like a thief coming into your home. If you knew he was coming, you'd be ready for him. But most thieves catch us what? Yeah, unaware. I mean, if you knew they were coming to your house to steal something, you'd be ready, wouldn't you? You'd have Smith and Wesson with you. You'd be ready. But Jesus said it's going to come like what? A thief in the night. You aren't going to be ready. Nobody's going to know. Nobody knows when the end is. But here, look at verse 33. He tells us something. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. What is he saying? Be aware and be ready. Be aware of what, George? We don't know when it is. Well, yeah, you don't know when it is, but you need to be ready for it. One of the illustrations that he uses in the gospel, he tells a story of these maids who have lamps, and five of them had lamps and they had oil, and the other five didn't. And they were supposed to wait for when the bridegroom shows up to take the bride. And the five who didn't have oil went to sleep. And then the bridegroom came, and they were supposed to light their lamps at that point, but they don't have any oil now. And so they were caught totally unaware because they weren't ready. They didn't know when he was coming, but they weren't ready for when he came. You know what the sad thing is, folks? I'm going to be honest with you. When I read a passage like this, I get convicted. What do you mean, George, you get convicted? I'm going to talk about me for a moment. I'm not going to talk about you, but hopefully it'll teach you something. When I read a passage like this, here's what I realize. I am so distracted by this world and what this world has to offer and what I want from this world and what I want to accomplish in my life and what I want to do, what I want to do, what I want to do, what I want to have, what I want to have. I am so distracted that if he were to come back, I wouldn't be ready. Is that you? I almost think it is, isn't it? We're not ready. We're not. He's saying, be aware. You know what? Here's the thing. When I see the natural disasters that are happening, and I see the wars that are happening, and I see people making predictions that are mindless and meaningless, it all fits right in with what Jesus was telling me is going to happen, right? So it just makes me realize what? I'm moving closer. We're one day closer. Another day closer to when Jesus is coming back. I don't know when it is. May not be in my lifetime, but we're moving closer. And here's the thing. I need to be ready. We say, George, what if he doesn't come back in our lifetime? What does the readiness mean? Because here's the other thing, folks. You need to be ready anyhow. Why? Because you don't know when you're going to die and meet him. Do you know that? You don't know when you're going to die. There's no clock that says 60 seconds left. Make the most of it. You know what I'm saying? You got to be ready. Be aware and be ready. That's what Jesus is saying to us. Be aware and be ready. And here's what he tells us, verse 34 to 37. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. I thought that's interesting how they separated the crowing of the rooster and in the morning. Just a little side note here, because I've been overseas and I have been woken up at 3 o'clock in the morning by crowing roosters. And they almost crow on every hour. Why? As the temperature drops, they crow. And it has nothing to do with morning. I used to think it was just in the morning they crowed. They crow all out through the night. Notice that's what he's saying here, okay? So it could be in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of a rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all. Watch what he's saying. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. Folks, I just told you there's 5,000 people groups who don't know the Lord, who've never heard. Never heard. I mean, there are hundreds and thousands of people who have never even seen a Christian, let alone heard about Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? Here's the thing I want you to understand, and you need to grasp this. This blows my mind, but I'll blow yours too, okay? Do you realize that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a part in His plan for His coming back? Do you realize that? Have you ever thought about that? Well, I'm not Billy Graham, George. I'm not one of those big TV preachers. How in the world am I going to do something for Jesus? Folks, your little part in your little world, whether it's at work or in your neighborhood or whatever, is all part of His ultimate plan. And who you reach in your world is all part of His ultimate plan. You're a part of it, whether you realize it or not. You need to realize it. That's why you need to be aware and be ready. Because when He comes, you need to be found what? Faithful. Faithful to accomplish what it is that you're supposed to do. And look, here's the thing, folks. One day when you go to be with Jesus, He's going to say, here, take a look. This is what your life was for. And because of this, look at what you accomplished. That's significant, isn't it? That'll blow your mind. That will blow your mind. So you need to be aware, you need to be ready, and you need to recognize that there is work to be done in your world. I mean, think about it for a moment. Probably some of you don't know who this name is. Some of you will know. D.L. Moody was the great evangelist of the 1900s. Great evangelist. Shoe salesman. We don't know. I think we do know the name of the person who led him to Christ, but there was nothing significant there. But because that person reached out to D.L. Moody, thousands came to Jesus through the ministry of D.L. Moody. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need to be ready. You don't need to be worried about, are we going to get sucked into a black hole? No, you ain't going to be sucked into a black hole. How do I know that, George? Well, the Bible tells you He's coming back to this world. So this world ain't going to blow apart. Might turn upside down. I think Revelation does talk about something happening there. But it ain't the Mayans who got it right. But the thing of the reality is that, what does He say? You need to be ready for His coming. And in the meantime, before He comes, you need to what? You need to do what He's telling you to do. You need to live for Him. Because you don't know the impact. Folks, it's already happening whether you realize it or not. What do you mean? There have been people who have come, I've been pastoring here almost 12 years now. December 10th, 2000 is the first time I was asked to come and speak here. I wasn't your pastor, I was just filling the pulpit. That'd be 12 years. Listen to me. In those 12 years, there have been people who have come through the doors here, who have sat here, who have quietly sat here, and that I know who have now left and gone to other areas, and God is using them where they were. But we were part of the process of grooming them. Do you understand? There's work to be done. See, it's okay, George, what do we need to do here? Well, let me give you a couple thoughts, real quick thoughts, and an action point. First one's a question. Do you live in fear of the future? Do you live in fear of the future? Are you fascinated with the end time predictions? You wonder what's going to happen next? But do you, in your heart of hearts, realize it's the unknown aspect of it that is motivating you? It's almost wrong? Do you live in fear? Ooh. I mean, on the 22nd, we're going to wake up and be thinking about what? It's going to be a Saturday. We're going to be thinking about, boy, I wonder what they're going to make at Christmas meal. Do I got to go to Walmart that day and fight the crowd for the last-minute gifts? We're going to look back and say, oh, those Mayans. Boy, they really didn't know nothing, did they? But before that, are you living in fear? Here's the other one. Are you ignorant of Jesus' words? That's the real one. Are you ignorant of what he really says in the Scripture? Are you ignorant of what he really tells you right out in the Word of God concerning what's going to happen in the future? That's the question you've got to ask yourself. Are you ignorant of it? You know what? Here's the thing. The Bible describes that as our hope. Jesus' coming is our hope. So have you really considered your hope lately? Or are you so focused on now and this life that you're just ignorant of what Jesus says? That's the reason why we have this message today. We don't want you to be ignorant. So here's what I want you to do. Here's your action point. Live your life ready for Jesus coming. Live your life ready for Jesus' coming. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That's going to mean something, and here's what it's going to mean for a lot of you. Something's going to change. Something's going to change. Your focus is going to change. Your attitudes are going to change. What you're living for is going to change. What you're striving for in this life is going to change. If you're going to live your life ready for Jesus' coming, I can almost guarantee you it's going to change you. And here's what you got to do. You need not look at that as something bad. It's actually something good, isn't it? Because here's the thing. Here's the fear that I have. That the day he comes, that I will be unaware and unready. And I'll be in shame. I don't think nobody wants to live that way, do they? That's the point I want you to see. Don't be caught unaware. Be ready. Be ready. Let's pray.